maintaining elegance, who was pleased to welcome Jesus in her house, whines to Jesus about that sister who's just sitting back and listening, who's just telling stories, who's just enjoying the company of her guest rather than helping in the kitchen. And Jesus' response to Martha is not so much a rebuke. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things, but a reminder that we probably all need to hear when we think we're overworked, when we think we're doing more than our share, when we think that nobody is there to help us. What Jesus points out to Martha is that Mary really understands what the heart of hospitality is. Mary is being attentive to Jesus, the guest. She is enjoying his company. She's not worried if something is burning in the oven or won't come out on time because she's focused on who came for dinner. Sometimes we can be caught up with so many things that are on the periphery, so many things that are important but not essential, that we fail to focus on what is most important. In this case, Jesus, the guest at their table. And we have another beautiful image of hospitality in the first reading. Beautiful image of Moses sitting in the entrance of his tent on a day hot and sticky like today. And it says at the beginning of the reading that the Lord revealed himself. And then we read the story and we don't hear about manifestations of God and thunder and lightning. And we don't hear about these magnificent signs of glory. We rather hear about God revealing himself in three strangers who pass by the front of that tent. And as Moses is sitting there in the tent way, he says, "Don't go on any further. Please stop and share a meal." The beautiful gesture of hospitality, so important in the Middle Eastern world, so important in most of our cultures. And as I read that passage, celebration for Brother Angelo, I couldn't help but think of how many times Brother Angelo is sitting on a park bench looking at the basilica and seeing strangers go by and having to call them over. "Hey, what brought you here? What is it that brings you to this special place? What are you praying for? Can I join you in these prayers? Tell me about your family." Brother Angelo, there are strangers that come to the shrine of Mary. Now, all of the friars here are dedicated to the ministry of hospitality, as we receive busloads and all kinds of visitors. But it's not every friar who gets up on the bus with a green, white, and red cap and sees that somebody when they're about to leave. Brother Angelo always leaves a special impression on every visitor that comes here because interested, because he cares about their story, and when they come back the next time, he remembers who they are. Now I have to admit, sometimes friars wonder if he secretly got FBI training, because after 10 minutes of somebody, he knows more details about their lives than most of us can figure out in a long time. And then with his longevity here in the parish and the shrine community, Brother Martha represents the busy kind of religious life. the sisters who taught the schools and ran hospitals for the parish ministries, the friars, the priests, the brothers of different religious congregations who are active in the missions, who are out teaching and running parishes, who are doing so much of the work of building up the kingdom of God. And Mary represents those who dedicate themselves to contemplative prayer. Sometimes behind a cloister where they don't go out, other times just giving more than a large portion of their day to really contemplate the things that matter, to sit at the feet of the Master as Mary did, and to listen to Jesus. In a world that's so full of noise and so full of busyness and so full of haste, very few people understand that vocation. When Francis of Assisi was trying to figure out what God was calling him to do, he was familiar with the monks, the Benedictines, on the hill of Assisi. He knew their lifestyle, their dedication to the liturgy, and to prayer, and to their enclosure. He was also familiar with the priests that served in the cathedral parish of the other churches of Assisi. But he didn't find his fit in either one of those. Yet he wanted to do something that took the best of both. So Francis is one of the early examples of what historians call the mendicant orders. It means they were beggars. It meant they didn't have a cloister. They weren't apart from the world. But they weren't engaged in the same way as the parish priests or others. They lived in community. They went around begging for their living, but they related to each other as brothers. They strove to have a balance between contemplation, a life filled with prayer, and activity, the activity of serving others. You know, this shrine of the Consolation is a great place to discover that balance when someone is assigned here. There's always a tendency to do all kinds of things, but it's a wonderful place for prayer, for reflection, for contemplation. And over his years here, almost half of his religious life, Brother Angelo has found that balance, knowing when to sit and be with people, knowing when to sit in the presence of Our Lady, offer his prayers for the many people that ask for his help in prayer, and also the time to be active in welcoming, greeting, and making people feel at home here, in talking to them about Jesus, talking to them about answers to their questions, and talking to them about the role that he wishes they would lead here with. God blesses us by the people that he places in our lives. The letter to Peter says that entertaining strangers has been a means of welcoming angels, and it refers to that passage during the first reading today of Abraham receiving these three visitors. Lavishing them with hospitality, filling them up and making them feel more than welcome, feeling a part of the family. As we celebrate the Angelus' faithfulness and the gospel of life over these 50 years, we celebrate how he has welcomed a stranger, how he has become brother to so many, how he has lived the gospel in a quiet way, balancing that contemplation and action, and how he has touched so many lives. So, Angela, we thank you for your witness here, for giving us that great example. We thank you for your brotherhood, as you have been truly brother to so many of us. And we thank you for what God has been able to do with you and through you to so many people who come here and in the other places you serve, Prior Lane, Mount St. Francis, everywhere you've been. May the Lord continue to bless you and continue to work for you, continue to warm hearts by the way that you welcome people. Maybe you can help me improve that singing voice so you can sing that tenore for many more years. It was more than 50 years ago, it was 50 years ago in a day. Brother Angelo professed those vows of concrete chastity and obedience. And tonight he was